Hello, everyone, and welcome to
What a Pitch!
The podcast where people pitch made-up movies.
Woo!
I'm your co-host, Dan Cutler, and I'm joined by my other co-host, the beautiful...
Sean Dangler.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Dan?
Oh, I am surviving.
Surviving? Oh,
yes.
No.
Yeah, I sent in my absentee ballot request.
Just now, man?
No. Like last week.
Ago. Okay. I sent mine in literally I think the time you could send it.
That's good for you, man. You're an upstanding model citizen.
Well, I've been volunteering on a political campaign, so I'm very aware of what I need to do.
Very nice.
Yes.
Trump, keep America great, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Trump, no. Pence, keep America great.
Joke.
No
I'm
more
kidding.
Bullshit. 2024.
I'm super kidding.
I'm always out on those boat parades and those car parades for Trump. MAGA,
oh,
baby.
The boats. Those are so funny. All right. It's not just us today. We are joined by a special guest. He is a Des Moines-based comedian, but you could probably hire him anywhere in the country. He'll go tell you jokes. He's also a co-host of The Gram, co-hosted with Sean Dangler.
Ooh.
Intersection.
Yeah.
Yes. Please welcome Muhammad Yal. Thanks for coming,
yeah.
Muhammad.
Yo, what's up?
How you doing, Muhammad?
Good. This is good. I like the vibes. I like the idea of the podcast. I'm ready.
Wow, he's already blown smoke up our asses.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I didn't think of a question. I usually ask a question just to have a little bit of conversation before. So that's like an algorithm thing. Is that like podcasts? Like you need like 6 to 8 minutes of just small talk before you get into the episode.
Really? I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have nothing
to small talk about.
What have you been watching over quarantine, Muhammad?
I don't know.
Or doing.
I'm not doing anything. And the feeling is just... confused and lost.
You know what? I think most people can relate to that.
Yeah, that's actually pretty relatable.
I'll talk about something I've been watching.
Yes.
I've gotten into Formula One racing.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is like basically European NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who don't know, the tracks are not just an oval. They're like all different shapes. And some of them are literally just like the streets of a city. They just put barricades up on the street. And it's cars going 200 miles an hour. The cars are super expensive. And there's a lot of crashing and it's real scary, but it's incredibly cool. What got me into it is that there's a Netflix documentary series called Drive to Survive.
Yes.
And each season of the series is a season in the sport. And it talks about like drivers signing to different teams and what's happening with the companies of those teams. Cause all the teams are like the top team is Mercedes and then Red Bull is the number two team. Ferrari is pretty up there, but they're kind of falling behind lately. And it's impeccable. It is like, I mean, it's like reality bad.
It.
Yeah, it's great. It's so good. Sean, you would love it.
I like the fake energy company, the first season.
Yeah.
Like,
what is this?
It was like some random old dude who won the lottery, or he has a lot of money. He set up this fake energy drink company, and he sponsored a Formula One car.
Wow.
It's amazing.
No one double checked on him.
No, he
went to jail.
Yeah.
He went to jail and he had to sell the team.
Wow. So he didn't win. Did he win the lottery or he didn't win the lottery or said he won the lottery and that?
No, I don't know how he got so much money from, but
okay.
It's a mystery.
Yeah.
But he has a fake
weird.
Company.
Well, he did not pay his taxes in India.
Oh, okay.
He owed India like three. I think it's like, was it like $3 billion in taxes?
Something crazy.
It was crazy. Like he owed a lot of money. Like probably he owes more money than probably Trump does.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. But so,
my
yeah.
favorite team is the Haas team.
Because of their manager?
Their manager is hilarious. In every race, they like, it's fucked up. And like, yeah, so much drama.
Yeah, he will look his racers dead in the face. His racers suck. But he will look them dead in the face and be like, yeah, man, you fucked up, man. You drove straight through the fucking wall, you fucking Claude. But he like says it like in a way that everyone receives it really well. I don't get it. It's so crazy. Haas is great. I love that guy. I can't remember his name.
So that team's bad, I take it.
Oh, they overall. Yeah, trash.
So much drama. It's like the Housewives.
Yeah.
Like between the drivers, because they have every team has two drivers, mm-hmm. and they compete against each other. They'll crash into each other during the race.
Yeah.
So you guys like big Lewis Hamilton fans then?
Yes, I love Lewis Hamilton.
Okay. So he does not create much drama on the show?
No,
not really.
That's good.
He probably will. So I'm like caught up and I'm watching the current season. He probably will this year. So this upcoming season that's going to come out of the documentary series. He'll probably be featured a few times about complaining about some. He's complained about some dumb shit. He's like, I was in first and blah blah blah, and now you're going to penalize me 5 seconds. Blah blah blah. And it's just like, shut the fuck up, Lewis.
Shut the fuck up, fucking Lewis, named Lewis.
He is a great driver, though. It's like,
okay,
yeah. And I'm actually super excited for next season because there's some rule changes. So all the cars should be more equal to each other.
Yeah,
is one of the big things. So it will be a lot more dependent on how good the drivers actually are. So next season should be a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah. I'll have to. What's it called?
It's called Drive to Survive on Netflix.
Drive to Survive. Okay.
Yeah.
And remember that. That does sound interesting.
Each season is 10 episodes, and they're like 20 to 40 minutes each. So it's pretty easy.
Yeah. I like that.
Cool. All right. Well, unless anyone has anything else to talk about, I think we're going to be getting into the elevator.
I could talk about one thing.
Talk about it.
That I've fell into when I was on vacation. And Dan, I'm sure you'll enjoy this, and Muhammad. It's another trashy reality show. Actually, no, I have two things I want to talk about. Two reality shows.
Okay.
The first one is something that I did not know about, but it has been around for, I think, a while, but is a show on Bravo, not Housewives, but called Below Deck Mediterranean. I don't know if you guys have heard of this show. Essentially, it follows people who work on yachts. And so, like, private yachts, people will rent out yachts. And then, like, this crew, like, you know, takes them around and gives them experience. But, like, it, you know, it's a reality show about the people who work. And my wife has been watching it a long time. And we were on vacation. We'd gone back to our Airbnb, and we weren't really doing anything. She fell asleep, and this was, like, just happened to be on. And I wasn't that sucked in until one of the crew members got busted for drugs. She had Valium. Apparently, according to maritime law, if you do not say, like, before you get on the boat, you have a drug and then you get busted, like, you have to get kicked off the boat. But it was
right there in the middle of the sea.
Yeah. And so it was crazy dramatic. And I got sucked in. And now I'm a big fan. Now when Kim watches Below Deck, not even the Below Deck Mediterranean, there's three spinoffs of two spinoffs of the original. Like, I want to watch it because it's I don't know what it is. It is fascinating. The part that makes it great is that every maybe couple episodes follows like one thing, one group of people, but it's a different group of people that get on the boat who are renting it. And so you get to see like different people, and they're all rich assholes mainly. And like, that just get plastered on the boat for some reason. And like, I don't know why they signed off to be on it. But yeah, they just get plastered on the boat. I don't know if you guys knew who Johnny Damon is, but he was on there.
Nope. Is it Matt Damon's brother?
No, but did play for the Boston Red Sox and won the World Series with them.
Broke
the Bambino curse.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that just a few years ago?
That was like 2004, if you mean.
Oh, yeah. That is kind of what I meant.
Okay. So there's that show. And I've already talked way too much about reality show. But one more.
Okay.
I've gone into Big Brother All-Stars this year.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just got sucked in this year. And so I've been watching it. And I can't really tell you why. Everyone knows what Big Brother is by this point. It's been on forever. Mm-hmm. But basically why I'm sucked in is because there's like an alliance in the house, all of them together, basically. Besides like this one black guy and this really annoying, very eccentric gay guy. And I'm rooting for those two, mainly the black guy. The over-eccentric gay guy is a little too over-eccentric for me. But the black guy, I am rooting for him, but he's like literally, he compared himself to LeBron down 3-1. And I'm like, this guy's fucking amazing. He deserves to win. So I'm like, once he loses, once he gets voted out, which is almost definitely guaranteed, like I probably will stop watching. But because everyone else, I think the thing that helps is like everyone else in this house is a fucking douche besides this one guy that I like. And so like, I don't know. I'm just sucked in, like, rooting for the underdog right now. So watch Big Brother and watch for David, the black guy. He's fucking great.
All right. We're rooting for you, David.
Yes.
Sure.
All right.
I'm sorry. I made you guys sit through way too much reality TV.
No, it's all good. I made you sit through Formula One.
Yeah. That sounds better.
Well, you know what sounds even better than that? An elevator pitch.
Yeah.
Let's get in the elevator, everybody. Ding dong.
Hello, sir. I see you're here, and I'm guessing you have a pitch for me. I'm very, very not – I'm busy, man. So make it quick, please.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I'll start right, like that.
Well, this is a movie. I've been thinking about it since high school. Oh, and wow. I've updated the script to fit the times that we're living in. So I think it makes it better.
Smart. Smart. Freshen it up.
Hear me out.
Okay.
The movie's called Suitcase.
Mm. Okay.
So imagine kids playing in the woods.
Okay, spooky.
And they're, you know, they're just kids playing in the woods, and they come across a guy in a guy wearing a suit, business suit, and laying beside him is a suitcase.
Oh, okay.
And then the kids just check. They want to check if he's alive, so they poke him with a stake, check if he's alive, and he breathes, and then that's the opening scene. That's the end. That we cut to black.
Okay.
And then the same guy that was laying in the woods, he just got fired. He's walking downtown. He just got fired from his job because of COVID. And he doesn't know what to do. He has family at home, and he's just walking downtown. And then a flying suitcase hits him in the head.
Oh, no.
And it's the same suitcase that the kids found him with, but we're still in the early stages. So he picks up the suitcase, like he checks his head, like he wants to know where it came from.
Okay. Thank God we're going to the 500th floor today.
So he's chucking around. He's asking people, "Is this yours? Is this yours? Is this suitcase?" Nobody says is theirs. So he goes to the park and he sits down. He's like, he's trying to figure out where it came from. So he opens the suitcase, and then he finds a lot of money in it and a gun.
Wow.
So he's like, obviously this is bad.
Okay.
So he closes the suitcase and he's like, okay, I'm going to take this to the police. I don't want any part of this. He goes to the police station. The police station is burnt down.
Oh no!
Because a protest.
Oh wow! We're hitting all the points.
Because the Black Lives Matter protest, so the police they don't exist. No police. So yeah, he's walking around trying to figure out. So he calls 911. Nobody picks up.
It's like that terrible Trump ad.
Yes.
So he goes back downtown. He's walking around. He's trying to ask people, is this yours? And he goes back to the same place. And while he's walking around, there's a Black Lives Matter protest going on. And
yes.
and then there's a guy. There's a white guy screaming Black Lives Matter, and he's asking him. He's trying to talk to him. He's like, "Is this your suitcase?" And the white guy is like, "No. What are you talking about? It's not mine." Blah blah blah. That's a joke, because because of what's going on right now. So nobody's paying attention to him because of all the protests. So he gives up.
Okay.
So then he goes back to the park and he sits down trying to figure out if he's going to use the money or what he's going to do. So yes. He's looking around. He's looking out the park and he sees a black dude whipping a white guy tied to a tree. Oh my
God. I think you gotta get that.
I feel that's inspiration from something in your life, Muhammad.
It is. So he goes, he asks like why you got what's going on? And the black dude with the whip tells him like this white guy asked me to do it. And the white guy's like, I have a lot of white guilds, and the only way I feel like I can repay this is by him doing this.
Fair enough. I understand.
So he goes, all right, that scene is random. I'll admit.
I think you got to get off the elevator, Sean.
But we're still in the pitch, I think.
If you aren't sold by now, I don't know.
So he's still in the park. He's walking around. Then he gets knocked out by a couple of guys. Put into a white van, and then he's tied up and blindfolded. Jeez. And he wakes up in a mansion. And did I mention this is going on during the pandemic?
When do the murder hornets come in?
When does Tiger King happen?
So he wakes up in his mansion tied up to a chair, and there's an orgy going on in the mansion.
That's not very COVID safe. I will say.
Yeah, that is not COVID friendly, sir.
They're all wearing masks.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's what they said, I guess, in Canada.
So that's they're being safe, wearing masks, gloves, but the orgy is still happening.
Hey, sorry, Muhammad. We have a stop on this floor. I think my fellow executive Dan is coming on the elevator with us. We have to go up with you.
Yeah, sorry. I had to stop and get a bagel.
So I'm here now. Keep going on with your pitch.
Alright, so the point of the movie where we're heading is we're trying to find out where the suitcase came from. And the guy who wakes up in the mansion, our elder Hugh Hefner type guy, he's the owner of the mansion. He comes down with the robes and the cigar. He sits down, the guy's tied up, and he starts talking, but he's like, I'm sure you want to know why you're here. And the guy's like, yes, what's going on? Why am I tied up? Blah, blah, blah. The Hugh Hefner guy, he goes like, I'm trying to figure out where that suitcase came from. Because the same situation happened to the Hugh Hefner type guy, where the suitcase hit him in the head when he was walking downtown when he was, I don't know, in the 80s.
Wait.
It's a time-traveling suitcase.
But was this guy, the Hugh Hefner guy, a Hugh Hefner guy at that point, or he got hit in the head with the suitcase and then became the Hugh Hefner guy?
Yes, he got hit in the head with a suitcase, and he found the money, but he didn't use all of the money. He just used some of it, and he got his wealth.
Okay. And man, that's like, a lot of money.
He's like, I took some money from the suitcase, and then he left the suit. He just took a little bit of the money, and he left the suitcase. And then years later, he got an email about the suitcase, telling him to find the suitcase. So the Hugh Hefner, he's been looking for that suitcase for the last 40 years.
40 years, Jesus.
Wait, he got an email in the 80s?
No.
He got hit in the head with the case.
Yes.
Then forgot about it. And then got a mysterious email within the last year or two about it. Is that what you're meaning?
Yes.
Okay. Do we know who the email's from? Or are you getting there?
No, it's anonymous.
No, it's just anonymous.
The organization?
Huh?
Anonymous, the organization? Oh.
You must find the briefcase.
No, it's just an anonymous email, doesn't know anything about it. So the guy, they come to the conclusion that both of them don't know where the suitcase came from. And the Hugh Hefner guy lets him go because he never wanted to hurt him. He just wanted to know if he started the whole suitcase thing.
Honorable so man.
So he's like, okay, here's my information. If there's anything that comes up about the suitcase, please call me and tell me. He's like, all right.
Shoot me an email.
So he leaves the mansion. Hugh Hefner do ask him if he wants to partake in the orgy. He's like, no thanks, I'm straight.
Wait, what? Wait, who did not partake in the orgy? Not
the Hugh Hefner asked him if he wanted to stay for the orgy.
The guy said, I don't want to do it because I'm straight. So it's, no, like, it's all
like, straight as in like I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like, whatever. He's like, either way works.
I'm hip.
Yeah. I'm not hip. Sorry, go on.
You can ball, though.
We're still on this elevator. Go on, Mom.
So he eventually leaves to go back to his house. And this guy, he has a family. He got fired. He hasn't told his family that he got fired from work.
Oh,
and he has a suitcase full of money and a gun.
So what's the time frame here from when he has been hit in the head by the suitcase to right now when he's with his family? How much time has passed here?
I probably went in a day because he got fired around, I want to say noon.
Okay.
Lunchtime.
I got a question.
Yeah.
The scene with the kids at the very beginning, is that going to be how the movie ends and all of this is a flashback?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. I just figured that out. Let's go.
So he's at home.
Yeah.
His wife asking him about his work or what's going on. She's been trying to reach him all day. He hasn't picked up his phone or anything. He comes up with the excuse of the riots going on. He's like, the riots downtown, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't get home. She's like, okay. He doesn't tell his wife that he got fired or he hides his suitcase from her. And he has kids. This guy's a good guy. He has kids. He's trying to figure out how to feed the kids. So he goes to his room, locks the door, opens the suitcase. He's like, all right. So there's his gun and there's I want to say maybe close to $1 million in the suitcase.
Wow.
So he's like, all right, so he can use some of this money to help his family while everything's going on, and he doesn't care about the consequences. So he goes to his backyard. He digs a hole. He takes like, I don't know, maybe a couple $100,000, and he buries the rest and he starts using the money for his family, and like pretend like he didn't get fired. So every day he would have to pretend he would go somewhere for 8 hours because he doesn't want his family to know that he got fired from his job.
All right. Is he like job searching? Is he like trying to be a good person about this, or is he like just like kind of blowing it off and like, oh, I have some money, so I'm gonna be, you know, debaucherous with it?
No, he's being smart. He's only using whatever amount that his work pays him just to cover his daily expenses.
Okay.
So meanwhile, he's trying to figure out where the suitcase came from. He goes back and he's like, he's trying to figure out how to tell the police. And obviously that's not possible right now. He's trying to talk to people. Mm. So he calls the FBI and asks if there's anybody missing a large amount of cash. And the FBI tells him.
Okay, so you just call up the FBI. You're like, hey, is anyone missing a large amount of cash?
I'm asking for a friend.
I'm asking for a friend.
And then they're trying to give him a tip, or so they recommend a detective to talk to. So he gets on the phone with a detective, and he asks about what to do if you find a large amount of cash. And the FBI was like, the detective tells him to whatever money he found, to put it all together and return it to the, mail it to the FBI and tell him, this is money I found. And the guy's like, do you have to do that? He's like, the detective says, no, you don't have to do that. But if you do, this is what you have to do. So he decides not to do that. He ignores it. He's like, okay, never mind, blah, blah, blah. So a couple months, weeks pass. He's living good. He's still pretending like he didn't get fired. Doing all this, the Hugh Hefner guy gets murdered.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
What a turn.
And people are trying to find out why he got murdered. His family, he has kids, and they're trying to come up with a suspect list of the people who tried to. And the only guy, the only random person that shows up is him, because he's been to his mansion. And the Hugh Hefner guy, he's the only person that has the last time he's seen anybody, like, except for the orgy.
Yeah, wouldn't all the orgy people be
so,
like...
So is it our main? Is it our main character and then just all the people at the orgy?
Yeah.
Or at the funeral? All presumably just naked at the funeral, probably.
No, they're wearing like black banana hammocks and black lingerie and stuff like that.
That's better.
So he gets questioned by the police about what happened. He's like, he only tells the half truth. He's like, obviously he's been to the mansion. He's like, but he doesn't tell them about the suitcase or how much money he has. He just tells them that he's been there.
Mm.
So they let him go because there's no way of tying him. So he's trying to figure out like what happened to the guy. He's like, the Hugh Hefner guy was assassinated in his home.
Wow.
So he figures out that like he got assassinated. And he's trying to put the clues together. He's trying to follow what happened. So he goes around to the neighborhood and mansion. He asks, like, what type of guy he was, or, like, who his friends are, who he's connected with. He's like, this guy, he's been, he used to be a scientist, the Hugh Hefner guy.
Okay.
Until he got let go from his job. And then he started a company out of nowhere. We know because he found the suitcase, obviously.
Yes.
But the people telling him that they don't know that. So he's like, he started a company. He made a bunch of money. And he's a scientist. Oh, like, what was he researching?
Orgies.
It was disease and infections.
Oh, oh, no way. We're not going there, are we?
And in the 80s, they started in the 80s where he was researching the diseases and the infections. He had to go to China.
Oh, boy.
For research purposes. And they were researching a virus that could end the world.
Jeez.
And yep, guess where this lab is?
Wuhan. I'm going to say Wuhan.
So in the 80s, he was in Wuhan, China, researching viruses. So.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I
think the elevator got stuck for a few minutes. I think we're going back up.
I
already called the fire department.
All right, thank you.
He was the main researcher of diseases that they didn't call COVID back then, but it was a disease that can like stop the world from working, okay. Basically, and life. And they were so close that they got it, and he had a moral dilemma of letting people know about this, or he could keep it a secret and use it sell it as a weapon to governments.
Okay.
So he decided he wanted to come clean and tell, have a press conference and tell the world about this disease they found, this weapon. And the people at the lab, they weren't cool about it.
Shocking.
They weren't straight, as they say.
Yeah, they weren't straight. They weren't kosher. Is that cool to say still?
No.
Decided they want to stop him. And the only way they want to stop him.
Fucking suitcase to the head?
No, is to. they hired an assassin to kill him.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay.
So the assassin that they hired, they gave him all the information. They told him he's going to be leaving the lab at this time. And this is how you kill him, blah, blah, blah. So they paid the assassin to give him money. And they gave the...
It's the assassin John Wick.
No, they gave him the money and the suitcase full of money to the assassin. There was no gun in it. They just was just the payment.
Yes.
So the assassin, he's in downtown in the 80s, waiting for this guy. No, this
Wait,
is,
where are we at now?
We should be
I'm
in
so
Wuhan,
confused.
Right?
We should be in.
I have motion sickness from this elevator, so I'm just wondering. Sorry.
All right, so he got fired from the lab.
Okay.
And then he came to America.
All right.
All right, so that assassin has information on him where he's going to be in America.
All right.
So the assassin is in the top floor of a building waiting for him to, like, walk out.
Yes, that's as an assassin would do.
So he's on the rooftop. He has his money. He has a suitcase, and he has a sniper rifle waiting for this guy. And by complete accident, like complete luck, the suitcase wasn't sitting correctly on the edge of the building, and it falls down. And the assassin trying to like grab his money, and it falls down, it hits the scientist in the head.
Oh!
So the assassin panics. Because the guy is looking up, trying to figure out where it came from. He runs away, and he's like, okay, I'll get it another time. So now he has the scientist has his suitcase full of money, and he has no idea where it came from. He does the same thing as the other guy, trying to ask people if they lost the suitcase. Nobody says anything. So he opens, he finds a bunch of money. He's like, either I can tell the police about this, or I can get my life back together.
Yeah.
So he gets his life back together.
By getting orgies?
No, he starts his own company, makes a lot of money.
Yes.
Playboy.
Yes, okay.
So now, but he did the same thing that the guy, he only took a little bit of the money and he left the suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't take all of it. The assassin comes back for the suitcase he lost, and now he has to finish the job.
Okay.
But now that guy, he has a ton of money. He just leaves the place, and he's hard to find now because he has a bunch of money. He's like traveling and he's trying to start a company. The assassin fails at his job. The lab, the Wuhan lab, they send another assassin to kill the original assassin.
Makes sense. Oh, wait, what? Oh, it's not where I thought that was going.
Oh, jeez.
So the assassin is running for his life now.
Oh,
you
my
know,
gosh.
Because he failed.
There's so many character development in this. Goes dead. Okay.
This is like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
So he failed at his job. He knows the lab are looking for him because So the assassin runs away. He knows where to go. He goes to another country, and then 40 years pass.
Oh wow. Okay.
And we cut to present day where everything's happening. The virus got released, but it's a weak strand of the virus. It's not as strong as the original one that they developed.
That's good to know.
It's a pussy strand.
So now the Hugh Hefner guy puts the clues together. He gets an anonymous email.
Oh, those anonymous emails.
Anonymous.
About the suitcase. And it was the original assassin that sent them the email. About the suitcase.
The first assassin.
The first assassin.
Sent the email to both of them or just Hugh Hefner?
Just a Hugh Hefner dude.
Just a Hugh Hefner. Okay.
And he tells him that to find a suitcase and to watch out for his life.
Okay.
And now the scientist, he figures out that the people who tried to kill him was the Wuhan lab and the virus got released. So he's going around trying to find a suitcase. Meanwhile, the new assassin
40 years later, so like 60 years old, I guess, when he's trying to hunt down
at least.
So the new assassin now is trying to kill the original Hugh Hefner because he knows about the virus and he knows what the Wuhan lab did. So the new assassin is in downtown. Trying to kill
back downtown, okay.
Trying to kill the Hugh Hefner.
Yes.
And Hugh Hefner is downtown at a press company. He's at the news station downtown.
Oh God.
Trying to tell people about the virus.
Okay.
And guess who works at the news station?
The second assassin.
our main character.
Okay.
So the new assassin is waiting to kill the Hugh Hefner. He's in the station, and our guy, who's getting fired because of COVID, is walking out, and the new assassin has his money in a suitcase with a gun, and out of nowhere, the same situation happened. He slips, and his suitcase falls and hits our guy in the head.
Wow!
What are the odds?
That's the odds.
So the new assassin panics because everybody's there. The news company's there, and he's trying to figure out where the suitcase came from. And there's riots going on. The new assassin panics, leaves the place. Yeah. And then we cut back to where we left off, where our Hugh Hefner guy eventually gets murdered.
Okay.
And then our guy goes through this thing where he buries his suitcase in his backyard. He has his secrets from his family, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So how we get to the kids playing in the woods is our guy.
Good. We only have 30 floors left.
Our guy, he's faking his daily job thing, where he goes when he leaves his family to go to work, and our new assassin figures out the house where that guy our guy lives. He figures out his address. He goes to his house. His family's his kids are not there. Whatever. He goes to his house trying to find his the suitcase. Eventually, he finds it. He digs it up in his backyard. He finds the money. Now he goes looking for our guy, and our guy's in the woods, faking his job, faking that he's at work.
Okay.
So he's walking in the woods with his suit on, and then our assassin finds him, and he's like, "You're the guy that found my suitcase," and he's like, "I'm here to end all of this." So he's trying to point a gun at him, and they get in a scuffle. They fight, and a guy classic. Runs away. The assassin chases them through the woods. Eventually, they get in a fight where our guy disarms the assassin, and he shoots our assassin in the leg with his gun, and our assassin like knocks him out.
Yeah.
And then guess who's coming to save our guy?
He zombie Hugh Hefner.
the original assassin.
Oh, yep. Okay. Forgot he existed.
Oh, God, is he like, he's also in his 70s, 80s, or whatever he is.
So our new assassin is has a bullet wound in the leg, and our guy fights him off, and he has a suitcase, and he gets knocked out while he's trying to fight the new assassin with the suitcase in his hand. And then our original assassin comes, saves the day. Gets the new assassin, gets him, they fight, and our original assassin wins, and then he got to get rid of the evidence, so he takes the body of our new assassin, trying to hide it, and then that's where our kids come in, and the kids are playing in the woods, come and find our guy knocked out with a suitcase.
Okay. And is that how the movie ends?
Yeah.
He buries the body of the second assassin after the first assassin saves our main character by killing the second assassin.
Yes.
Okay.
So what happened to the first assassin?
He's the one that comes saves the day.
Okay. And then he just leaves after he kills the second assassin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then the guy... The original guy just wakes up with the kids poking him.
With the money, yeah.
Because he's tired from burying a dead body.
And that sounds good. I'm getting off the elevator right now.
I mean, honestly, that elevator is taking so long, I'm just going to ride it back down and go home.
Okay. That is the most well thought out pitch we have ever had on this podcast.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I love this movie.
Yeah, it is. And how long have you been thinking about this movie?
It was a high school assignment. They told us to write a script about a movie that we wanted to make. So I wrote this, but I didn't have the COVID.
Yeah, or Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
What was it originally?
It was originally the origin of Suitcase was like a group. Like a power group in the world that control the world.
Anonymous.
Illuminati.
And they're the ones that have all this money, and just on pure accident, that guy just gets the original scientist just gets away just on random chance.
Wasn't making the coronavirus.
It wasn't the virus. No, it was just like he has like a super cure to some disease that, that he wanted to tell the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm into it. It's kind of like, I mean, it has like a Pulp Fiction kind of feel with like all it these feels, different characters kind of.
It feels like a true epic. Gone with the Wind epic. I don't know. That's the only epic I know. I read it on Wikipedia. So
sure.
I did get inspired by Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, because it feels like, yeah, you like, you know, you follow this one character for a while, and then you dive in, you know, he meets someone, then you dive into that person's background, and then you dive into someone else's background, and then you slowly come back into the other person's background, and then finally back to the main person's background or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it would, yeah, I don't know. I really like it, too, and how it all ties. It's always classic when you can have the beginning and the first and last scene be the same scene, or whatever, be like
much that. Like Gone with the Wind.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I don't either. I've never seen it.
I only brought it up. My grandma saw it 4 times, I guess. Not, I think, right when it came out, but I was like, Jesus, grandma, that's a lot of Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless
they have nothing to add. I mean, I really.
I was gonna say, unless we have anything to add or any questions. No.
I really don't. I think it was a very well thought out film. I mean,
Oh yeah. I think it's incredibly tight. Yeah.
And impressive. Just impressive. Did you have all those notes written down on your phone then?
Yeah.
Just saved in some random notes thing.
I had a script on Google Documents from like 6 years ago of like, all the scenes. All I had to do was just update the coronavirus and the police station and the Wuhan lab. That just fell right into my lap.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, well, I think it's time to move on to the cast list.
I don't know if that's so nice.
You nailed it.
thank you. So, Muhammad, who are you? Do you have anyone in mind that you were thinking of who would be your main character, I guess? The initial gets hit in the head with the briefcase.
Is Willem Dafoe still alive?
Willem Dafoe is still alive, yes.
He fact check, alive.
He's our scientist.
He's Hugh Hefner?
He's yes. Hugh Hefner? Oh, that makes sense.
I'm into it. I love Willem. Yeah.
That would be perfect for that guy.
I'm so into that. Do you have any other ideas about what actors you want in your movie?
I wanted our main character to be some like random, just a normal looking dude. And I'm trying to think of random dudes, and I'm trying to like, it would be funnier if he was black. Because like all the protests going on.
I was going to say, you start off with a lot of like race-based subjects. Yeah, it's like, real political
real fast.
What I love is that it's like super like racial based at the beginning of the movie, and then it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I just wanted the like race riots and the pandemic to be like just a background noise of what's happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I was kind of thinking Jay Farrow from SNL.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really in love with that.
What? No, I don't really know off the.
So there's a new show on HBO called Lovecraft Country. And the main actor is this guy named Jonathan Majors. He's pretty good. He's gonna be in a Marvel movie pretty soon.
Oh.
But I literally couldn't tell you anything other than Lovecraft Country that he's in, so unless you've seen that.
No, do you guys know the guy from the movies like how Can I Help You, or like I'm sorry
Oh, Sorry to Bother You.
Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, Lakeith Stanfield.
Yes, him.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be good.
I love Lakeith Stanfield.
Because he's like our weird kind of I don't know. He has that weird vibe that, like, I want.
Yeah, he loves like those weird projects, like Atlanta and Sorry to Bother You. Mm-hmm. He's mostly like really weird in those, so I think it'd be really interesting to see him be like a normal person in a weird situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be really interesting. So yeah, 100%.
I like it. Yes. I like it.
All right. How about our FBI agent?
Will Ferrell.
Wait, what's the FBI agent do again?
He just answers his call.
Oh, about yeah.
The suitcase.
But then that's, he's also perfect, at the funeral, right?
Yeah.
That's a perfect Will Ferrell cameo right
there. Yeah, it's just Will Ferrell for like 5 minutes each.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Wedding Crashers-esque Will Ferrell.
Yes. Yeah. That's a great call. I'm into that. That's funny. All right. Then how about our first assassin? Who's our first assassin?
Ooh, that's good.
You mean the assassin who in the end comes back and saves the day, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. This is gonna be a weird suggestion, but how about our first assassin is The Rock?
And I'm always down for The Rock.
And our second assassin is Kevin
Hart. Vin Diesel. Oh, damn. Kevin Hart would also be great.
Ooh, that's really goofy. Like, it'll be more of like, I want to be like a little bit more serious.
Okay, fair enough.
Sorry. Okay. Who would we cast?
What's his name?
Jason Statham.
From Pulp Fiction. What's his name?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel Jackson.
Okay, that's so one of those got to be Samuel L. Jackson.
The first assassin, then? Save the day? Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, crap. What's his name? He's the guy in Game of Thrones. He's the Red Viper in Game of Thrones.
Ooh, I do not know.
Oberyn.
Red.
It's not Kit Harington, is it?
No, it's not Kit Harington. He's also in Narcos on Netflix.
Oh, Oberyn Martell?
Yeah.
Yes.
You want that? Pedro Pascal. That guy.
Ooh, I do know who Pedro Pascal is.
From what?
I was listening to a How Did This Get Made earlier this week, and he was in the movie that they talked about.
Oh, nice.
I don't remember what movie it was.
Sure.
But he was in it.
Yeah. He's the Mandalorian.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you don't ever – I mean, you see his face, like, literally for a minute, but that's him.
Okay.
So, yeah. You like that, Pedro Pascal?
Yeah, I do. He looks like a good assassin.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's got that kind of like, he's like kind of sexy but kind of scary, kind of like you kind of afraid of him. You know what I'm talking about, Sean, right?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Any other characters we want to cast?
Probably his wife and kids.
His wife and kids. Okay. Just want to say Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany Haddish. I love Natalie Portman.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Natalie Portman.
That's Muhammad's like crush.
Oh really?
He crushes Nat.
Don't worry. I won't tell her.
No, I saw Black Swan and I was like, oh my God.
Goddamn.
That's a great movie. So Natalie Portman for the wife.
Yes.
Okay. Kids. Here's the thing about casting kids. We don't know any kid actors other than like Stranger Things.
Yeah. Do you know any kid actors, Muhammad?
Are you?
No.
You're not in depth with those child actors.
Do you just want to do like the George Lopez thing where we get like children, but then like superimpose like Kenan Thompson's head over their child? Just really large.
What's this George Lopez?
You've never seen the George Lopez show?
Wait, he did that? Oh, is that when he was a kid they would do that?
Yeah, so like the George Lopez show, they would do like flashbacks to when he was a child.
And they just
and it was a child's body and they just put George Lopez's head like super large.
Because they had kids in that show, right?
Did you never like fall asleep watching TV at like 11 p.m., wake up at 3 a.m. and it's the George Lopez show on? Have you never done that?
I watched the George Lopez show, I think, when it was like originally on.
Oh, wow.
You're old. Or at least when it was syndicated during the day or something.
Sure.
But I guess I was thinking his actual kids in the show. It was just George Lopez and then his kids, which is all I said.
No, in his flashbacks.
So okay, fair enough. I think I slightly remember.
Did you know what I was talking about, Muhammad?
Yeah, the theme song of the show is like annoying, unforgettable.
Yeah,
it's
Lowrider.
Yeah, yes. It was who sings that song?
I don't know.
Is it Lionel Richie? What was Lionel Richie's band?
No.
Oh, it's not them. Brick House. Okay. So we don't have any kids, right?
Well, they're just kids.
Generic kids.
Child actors.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other people?
Probably the scientists at the lab.
Oh, okay.
So wait, is this one a I forget what the scientist does. He's a nemesis of William Dafoe.
These are the people who hire the assassins, right?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So I kind of think, what if it's just the cast of Big Bang Theory?
That's really funny.
Thanks.
I want them to be all Asian actors.
Okay. So obviously the Asian guy from Silicon Valley.
Yep.
Fresh off a boat guy. Forget what his name is.
Oh, he's great. Is that Randall Park?
Randall Park, yeah.
Yes. And what's his name? That guy off Ip Man.
Oh, shit. I feel bad because I love those movies.
I don't know. Aquafina?
Donnie Yen.
Donnie Yen.
Donnie Yen. But also Aquafina.
Okay.
Yep. Also Aquafina.
I'm sorry. I'm just naming any Asian like performer.
I was going to say Ali Wong, dude. So, yeah.
Oh. That'd be good.
Can we just hire every single Asian actor?
Bobby Lee.
Oh my gosh. James Wong, the original Asian American actor.
Jet Li, he still do things these days.
Yeah.
He's Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan.
We'll fucking what was that shit they did with Tupac, the hologram? We'll hologram Bruce Lee in.
No, I just want every race that played to be played by the race they represent, like not have like white scientists at the Asian lab. That's dumb.
Yeah, well, no, I get it.
Yeah. No, absolutely, I get that. I mean, but then Willem Dafoe is also from that lab. I mean, I'm okay with it. It's literally Willem Dafoe and then every Asian actor in Hollywood that we could find. It's amazing. All right. I think that's good on the casting.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. One day, a man was walking along the sidewalk when a suitcase fell out of the sky and hit him in the head.
Ow. Ah, what the hell?
He didn't know where it came from. He found a large sum of money and a gun inside and was promptly kidnapped after witnessing some very racially charged imagery.
Ah, let me go. Come on, what's going on?
We're kidnapping you, bucko.
I didn't do anything.
He was the man was taken to a mansion filled with a lot of people having sex and was confronted by a very mysterious, rich old man who was white.
Hello, I'm Hugh Hefner. I need to know where you got that suitcase. I actually need that suitcase.
Hey, listen, man, I don't know. I was just walking for my job and it hit me in the head. I have no idea. I have no idea where it came from.
All right, fine. I'll let you go. But before you go, do you want in this orgy?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Are you saying you're straight?
Straight? I'm straight.
Good. I'll see you later. I'll go have sex with all these people.
The man tries to do the right thing and reaches out to the authorities, the FBI.
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah, I have a large sum of money and a gun, and I don't know what to do with it. Who do I return this to?
Mom! Meatloaf! yeah, you can return that. Just drop it in. Just mail it to the FBI. We'll take it from you.
I don't have the money. But what if someone had a large amount of money and a gun? What would they do?
Just send it to the FBI. You'll be taken care of, and that'll be it. Like, seriously, Mom, Meatloaf. What is she even doing back there?
All right.
The man stumbles upon a large conspiracy of murder and murder again, but they're both idiots at it.
I almost killed you. I was gonna kill you.
And then I am going to try to kill you. Both of you. I'm going to try to. They pay me.
Oh, no!
Bang, 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 bang. Oh, I
missed. I'm running away.
He barely escapes with his life. and commits murder. But he's our good guy, so we root for him. Next summer, go see the hit film Suitcase, rated R. And that's our movie, everybody.
Wait, when does he commit murder?
He murders the second assassin.
Not murder. He's getting
away. Like accomplice to murder.
Yeah, but isn't the guy deserves to die? It's not really murder. But in the sake of the movie, it's not like he's a bad guy for killing the guy, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to answer this question of morality on What a Pitch. I said what I said. If you don't like how I do the announcer voice, you do the announcer voice, Sean. You don't.
All right, whatever. Fine. We'll agree to disagree.
No. Oh my gosh, Muhammad, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Thank you.
What an wonderful amazing film and a tall ass elevator.
Very. Very tall elevator. Our heads might have exploded because we just went up into the fucking stratosphere. Into the
atmosphere, yeah.
Do people usually just say an idea for the movie and you guys just rip off of it, or do they have a complete?
So they usually give a 30-second spiel, general thesis,
An elevator pitch,
and then we go into details and stuff.
But it's this is great. No, don't even worry about
it. Dude, I had so much fun.
Yeah, it was fun to see someone with a fully hashed out, thought out film with every single plot point. Because, yeah, other people will have maybe literally just a sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Other people will have here's point A, here's point B, here's point C. But we don't know how we get from. To what? How you get from point A to point B to point C type of thing.
Yeah, so. And all the ideas are good.
Yes.
But I think when someone comes in with an idea like this, it makes it so much more unique of an episode because the movie is so much your idea because you've thought it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely super awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now it's time to do some plugs. Muhammad, you're our special guest. So please plug anything and everything you want to plug right now that you want our listeners to know you're doing or want you to follow on social media.
Currently, stand-up wise, I'm doing nothing. And our comedy game show, The Gram, followed on Instagram. We might do shows. That's right, it. Yeah.
Mine? Yeah, just follow us on Instagram. We also have a Facebook account, but basically everything we do on Instagram goes on Facebook. We'll probably be doing a show here in October at some point. We got to figure out the date. And hopefully throughout the winter, if we find the right location and stuff. So besides that, just keep liking, subscribe, and tell your friends about What a Pitch and the Pandering Talk. And yeah, that's about it. Dan?
Yeah, follow What a Pitch on Facebook and Twitter at PODWAP. Also follow Pandering Talk on all the social medias. I don't know all of its social medias or its tags. That's Sean's.
Just Facebook, Twitter at Pandering Talk. PANDARING, not ER.
Like yeah.
So many people.
The Bear. Yeah.
The Bear.
Pan. Yeah. And also subscribe to both Pandering Talk and What a Pitch.
Yes.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, it really helps with engagement and getting noticed and all that cool, fun stuff because we want to make this as good as possible. So,
hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah. You should get that tattooed on your body.
No, I'm not Hulk Hogan or whoever the fuck says that.
Yeah, it's Hulk Hogan.
Hell yeah, brother.
All right. Thank you for listening to What a Pitch.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother.